Absolutely. My pleasure to be with you this evening. How many of you are excited to be here? Kind of weak. I saw a kind of mixed your hand. I'd like to... Let me hear it verbally. How many of you are excited to be here? Well, I am excited as well because, you see, guys, you are the future. You are the future. And to me, I want to work myself out of a job. Here tonight, if I can encourage any of you to get up, get excited, and get involved, that's what we want to do. We as the body of Christ have got to start getting excited about our faith. We need to start getting out of these pews where we have many times will isolate ourselves away, and we need to get out into the public and start impacting people. A dear friend of mine, he said, Mark Cahill, love the guy to death. He gave me this quote. I told him I was going to steal it so I can do it. He said, Carl, evangelism is a conversation, not a presentation. And I said, amen. I want to build a whole talk on that right there. I won't do it for you tonight, but let me kick you with this. Evangelism is a conversation, not a presentation. Are you conversing? Are you conversing? And if you're not, why aren't you? I can submit to you that many times we don't converse because, you see, presentations are easy. I have done this a number of times. And thank you for those of you that have seen it by allowing those that haven't seen it to kind of get into it. These are easy. But when I have to sit down and start talking to people one on one, now that's real. That's tough. That's when you have to know what you're talking about and you have to believe it. Does that make sense? You see, presentations are easy. That's canned. One on one. Oh, now that's difficult. Friends, that's what we need to be, though. And we only get that way by demolishing strongholds, by understanding the way that the world is seeing us and how we can break down those barriers that keep us from being able to have real conversations with people and getting real ourselves, having real answers for ourselves. That verse in Corinthians is so powerful. Think about this. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But you know whose weapons are carnal? Satan. Ours aren't, but his are. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Watch this, verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. I found that amazing. Casting down imagination. Satan is going to use these things, these carnal things, imagination, to confuse us. You see, friends, the very first step in being able to be real with people and to talk with people and to have conversations with people is to recognize there's a problem going on. What Ken went through, the teaching of how to put on the biblical glasses and understand why they understand the world totally differently than we understand the world. You see, without recognition, there can be no resolution. We have to recognize that there is a battle going on. That's what that word says. Warfare. And that word there is not just a little skirmish. It's an all-out assault. And that is going on in our world today spiritually. And the world has been very smart. Secular quote here for you. It is time to recognize that the true tutors of our children are not school teachers or university professors, but filmmakers, advertising executives, and pop culture purveyors. Disney does more than Duke. Spielberg outweighs Stanford. MTV trumps MIT. Now that's a secular man, MIT grad, professor at the University of Maryland. He recognizes what is being used to get us to take off our biblical glasses and willingly put on the world's glasses to understand the world that we live in. And when we do that, it diminishes our faith. I've spent a lot of time and money to make this presentation because I want to influence you. I'm being honest. I want to indoctrinate you. But so do they. So do they. Genesis 13, 8 and 9. Let's start with Abraham and Lot. You're familiar with Abraham and Lot, right? Abraham and Lot are traveling and they get to the point where their group is getting so big that Abraham says to Lot, Lot, I don't want any problems with you. So you know what? You make the call. We don't have enough resources. Our group's getting too big. So you need to make the call. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left because I don't want any problems. And it says in verse 10 that Lot had to make an important decision, and he did it by he lifted up his eyes. Interesting phrase. Friends, don't take the scripture just at face value. Get into it and dig. That little phrase right there, that he lifted up his eyes, actually means this. that he once cast about within his own mind to make choices. He considered within himself what was the best. You see, he looked around with his physical eyes and said, oh, hey, there's the cities over there. Look at the plains. They've got plenty of grass for the sheep and for the animals, and they've got water. He used his physical eyes to make a very important decision. Friends, should you use your physical eyes to make an important decision in life? Should you? You can talk to me, it's okay. Should you use your physical eyes to make an important decision in life? Friends, when God tells us to lean not on our own understanding, to be not wise in our own eyes, God is trying to tell you something very important. You see, there is a way that seemeth right to man, but the ends lead to death. When you and I use our physical eyes, we use our wisdom, we can be deceived. Because the world can make things look really good. Make it look real good. But boy, the ending is not nice. Well, Lot used those eyes. He made the decision. Did he move right into Sodom? Did he? Now, was Sodom a good place to go? No, it was not a good place to go. He didn't move right in there. Look at that. He pitched his tent toward Sodom. Do that digging again. Get in, do a little bit of research on it. And it says right here that he didn't live in the city. He moved into the plains because, you see, then he could go into the city on the weekend and he could hit Kmart and get whatever he needed, right? Got the best of both worlds. You got the city out there for the weekend and you got the plains and the grasses. But something interesting happens. Watch this. In chapter 19, where do we find Lot? Where's he living? He's in the walls. You see, he didn't just get sucked in all at once. It was a slow, gradual process. See, I submit this to you, Christian, that what happens to us is many times is we get sucked into the world. Slowly and gradually, we start adopting the ways of the world. We start looking like the world. We start reflecting the world's standards instead of the Word's standards. How does that happen? How does that happen? Because you see, the world is smart. The world has a very focused message. And they've come at us with, you can't trust this book. I love this quote. The vast majority of Christians do not behave differently because they do not think differently, and they do not think differently because we have never trained them, equipped them, or held them accountable to do so. Friends, this weekend is what this is all about. This generation. Training, equipping, because you are the future. You need to get out and to have real answers for why you believe. Not just, oh, you just got to believe. No, you need to have real answers because there's real questions that people are going to ask you. How effective is the world at indoctrinating and training the next generation? Let's take Mickey D's. How effective is Mickey D's at training and indoctrinating? I love this little clip.
You know, by the time kids are able to speak, most of them can say McDonald's.
How effective is McDonald's at training and educating? You know, they went into the school system and they showed the children, just to make it easy, they showed 100 children a picture of Ronald McDonald. Out of 100 children, how many recognized Ronald McDonald? 100. Then they showed them some more pictures.
Companies spend billions making sure you know their product. In 2001, on direct media advertising, that's radio, television, and print, McDonald's spent $1.4 billion worldwide.
You see, that's why all those children recognized Ronald McDonald. But what about these other poor people that didn't have $1.4 billion to spend? How effective were they? Watch these clips.
I'm going to show you some pictures, and I want you to tell me who they are.
Okay.
Who's that? You don't know?
George Washington.
Yeah? Who is he?
He was the fourth president who freed the slaves.
And he could never tell a lie.
You think if we spent $1.4 billion, we'd have been able to educate him a little bit better on who George Washington was? But watch this one. This one's very interesting.
Who's that?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
George W. Bush?
No, that's a good guess, though.
Only one child could take a guess at this mysterious figure. Who in the world could they be talking about? What picture could they be showing that only one child could take a guess at? How effective has the world been at indoctrinating? Christian, how effective we've been. You see, we need to recognize there is a war going on. There's a spiritual battle. The world's been smart. As a controller for 24 and a half years, I learned one thing. You want me to use the radar properly when I'm using it, right? Most of your hands went up and you said you flew into O'Hare sometime. You want me to use that radar properly. But there's one thing you need to understand. I could have a great radar system and I could be a good controller, but what if I don't have any electricity? Is the system going to work well? No, it's not going to work well. You see, you need to have all these pieces in place. You can't just have a couple pieces and make it work. Friends, the Bible is like a radar system. It's like a radar system. And if you don't use it properly, I guarantee you, you're not going to like the results that you get. You won't like it. You see, most of us are not using the Bible as it was meant to be, as real history, to put on those glasses to understand the world that we live in, because of one very simple little thing. The same thing that Satan did in the Garden of Eden. Did God really say that? Yea, hath God said? Doubt. If Satan can get you to doubt this in the first chapter, the second chapter, the third chapter, where do you quit doubting? See, Satan's smart. What is the tool that's being used in our culture today to get us to doubt? I submit to you that it's millions of years in evolution. And that's where the world's been very smart, very consistent, very focused message. Cartoons, comic books, magazines, TV, movies, magazines, very consistent message. So let's get in and look at just a few of these things so that we can start getting our radar turned on. As a Christian, I want you to at least walk away from this weekend having your radar turned on so that the next time you're watching TV and these things come across the TV, you find a way to catch them and then use them to educate other Christians around you. Look at the message that's going on. But then also use them as talking points with non-Christians. How do you use the culture? Not be abused by the culture, but how do you use the culture to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? That's what we want to do. Please don't take what I say that, or to even imply that you think that I believe that there's some sort of conspiracy theory going on. Oh, they got this big conspiracy and they're all trying to overwhelm us and undermine the Christian faith with using the media and that sort of a thing. There are those pieces out there, believe me. I mean, Michael Moore has an agenda. All right. He's got an agenda. But the vast majority of people that are involved in this medium, they're just trying to make a buck many times. And this is the only thing that they know. So all I'm trying to say with the movie clips and that sort of a thing is be aware that those messages are there. They're just portraying what they honestly believe. Be aware of those messages and then use those messages to be able to share the gospel of Christ and open lines of communication with people that really many times won't go to a church. So let's start with TV. Let's just kind of get in and take a look at a few clips here and see if we can't find some evolution. I mean, let's not even go to the no-brainer stuff. I mean, Jeff Corwin, Wild Discovery, all of the animal shows that I love, no-brainer. If you turn them on, they're fantastic until you turn the audio up. When you turn the audio up, look out, brother, they're coming for you. They got a very consistent, focused message. So let's go to the safe stuff. Let's go to things like Friends. Now, how many of you have ever watched that show? How many have ever watched it? Let me see a show of hands here. Oh, okay, so you've seen this show, so you know what it's about. I don't think I've ever seen a full episode of it, but my daughter called me with this and said, hey, Dad, there's evolution in Friends. So I went and found it. I couldn't get the video clip, unfortunately, because I'm not going to pay $50 for it. But I'll read the transcript to you. I don't know, it's just, you know, monkeys, Darwin. You know, it's a nice story. I just think it's a little too easy. This is the one where Heckles dies. Too easy. The process of every living thing on this planet evolving over millions of years from single-celled organisms is too easy? Yeah, I just don't buy it. Excuse me, evolution is not for you to buy, Phoebe. Evolution is scientific fact, like the air we breathe, like gravity. Isn't that interesting? You don't think there's a message in there? You don't think that's influencing? It is influencing. Oh, we got to go through the commercials, though, as we watch TV. I mean, you got to run into commercials, too. Evolution in a beer commercial? Huh. Watch this one.
The rhythm of life is a powerful beat. With a tingle in your fingers and a tingle in your feet. Rhythm in your bed, rhythm in the street. Yes, the rhythm of life is a powerful beat.
The rhythm of life is tingle in your fingers and a tingle in your feet. Rhythm in your bedroom, rhythm in the street. It's the rhythm of life, it's a powerful beat.
Flip your wings and fly to your daddy. Take a dive and swim to your daddy.
It's the glorious rock, your daddy.
Daddy, hit the rhythm of life,
Set.
You don't think there's a message in there? Okay, let's get back to TV. Let's go to CSI. How many of you have ever watched CSI? Oh, okay. A lot of you have watched that. This one is very interesting. Oh, they don't have messages. It's just a detective show. It's just a police show, right? There's no messages in there. Oh, let's take a look.
My parents never understood her, but still I think they should know. What do I say?
Show them an oyster.
I'm sorry?
There are two types of male oysters, and one of them can change genders at will. And before man crawled out of the muck, maybe he had the same option. Maybe originally, we were supposed to be able to switch genders. And being born with just one sex is a mutation.
No messages there, right? Well, let's go to the safe stuff. Bob the Builder.
Hold this, Goof. There's something down there. It's too big to be a cow's bone, but it just might be a dinosaur's bone.
Dinosaur? Oh.
It's all right, Lofty. The dinosaurs lived millions of years ago.
Oh, no teaching there either, right? Friends, these messages are there.
Oh! Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
Now, I'm sorry. This has got to be the dumbest cartoon I have ever seen. I just don't get it. Yes, I'm getting old. But it's a sponge living underwater, and there's lightning, there's rain, there's fire, a squirrel running around with some sort of helmet on so it can breathe. It's just dumb. I don't get it. Evolution? Yes, there is. They actually did one called Ugg.
Dawn breaks over the primordial sea. It is here that millions of years ago, life began taking its first clumsy steps out of the darkness, opening its newly formed eyeballs to stare into the blinding light of intelligence.
So even in SpongeBob, yes, there's evolution. Jimmy Neutron. Ah, well, this one's filled with it. Just one little tiny one that I got out of this one is from Substitute Creature. Very interesting. He finds a piece of 64-million-year-old spinach in between some teeth in a dinosaur museum, and he clones it and brings it back to life. Now, that's ridiculous, right? Come on, that's just ridiculous. 64-million-year-old spinach? It wouldn't last that long. But you know what I like to do with little clips like this when I get the opportunity to talk with young folks? Now, we would say that's ridiculous. There's no way spinach could last 64 million years old. But you know what they found? They've actually found tissue. Dinosaur tissue. They've actually found dinosaur blood cells, blood vessels. Supposedly 70 million years old. And the scientists, they have no problem with that. Do you think that that tissue, those blood cells and those blood vessels could last 70 million years? There's no way. And you read what they write. Oh, there must be some method out there that saves this stuff for millions of years that we just don't know about. How about it's not 70 million years old? Let's go watch the movies. Let's see if we can find some good stuff in the movies. Tell me if you know what this movie is here.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void.
This was one of my all-time favorite movies as a young man. Now, why in the world would you start a science fiction movie off with In the Beginning God, then Big Bang, and then you get to the creature from the Black Lagoon? You know what? It's very interesting to see when you watch some of the older films. Science fiction is a bridge. I believe that it's a bridge. You do not get from there is a God to there is no God just like that most of the time. Something has to happen. There has to be a bridge. So what does evolution come along and do? Oh, you can believe in God. He just used evolution. He just directed the Big Bang. What's a creature from the Black Lagoon all alike? What, I mean, how does it fit into evolution? It's a transitional fossil. It's this gill man. He's amphibian, but he's human. It's a mixture of these two things. He could breathe air for only a little bit, but then he had to get back into the water so he could breathe on the surface. It's just this mixture. You know what they're trying to tell you? It evolved, but then it didn't change for 150 million years. That sort of a thing. This is the movie that started this talk. It really is. How many of you have ever seen this movie right here? Incredible Mr. Limpet. This was a really good movie to me because as a young person, I loved it. And then I remember when my children were, I'd say they're probably 12 or 13. I remember finding the movie in the store and taking it home and saying, man, we're going to have a family night. We're going to pop the movie in and watch this movie. Family night. 13 minutes exactly into the movie. Stop the film. We got to talk. Because, you see, I never caught this as a young man. 13 minutes into the movie, his buddy's there, and his buddy's trying to get him out of the house. His buddy is like, let's go, let's do this, let's go do this. He doesn't want to do anything except hang out with his fish. And finally, his buddy is like, what is wrong with you and these fish? And then Don Knotts goes over and pulls down the chart. You see the chart there? What's the chart? All the millions of years. And then Don Knotts throws this one out.
Well, I've given it a lot of thought, George. A lot of thought. George, do you realize that our ancestors were fish?
Stop the film. We got to talk. And we talked. Turned it back on.
George, I'm not joking. I can explain.
He sure can, George. He's read hundreds of scientific books on the subject. He claims millions of years ago there was nothing but fish in the world.
That's right. And then, you see, some of those ancient creatures, they became amphibians. And they crawled out on the land, you see. And then millions of years later, they became men.
Stop the film. We got to talk. It actually got to the point where my children said to me, Dad, you're no fun. We don't want to watch movies with you anymore. I admit I was a little bit too aggressive. So we had to change our approach in these things. So what we started doing was we would just take notes during the movie or we would remember things. But when we got done with it, then we would start talking. Did you catch this? What do you think they meant by that? And we would start talking about those things. And guys, I encourage you to use that to start understanding the message that the culture's throwing at you because they're there. Well, they finally get Don Knotts out of the house, and they get him down to Coney Island, and he's standing on this pier, and he's got a book with him. That the first section of this movie, he's carried this book with him everywhere he's gone. See the title of the book? The Theory of Reverse Evolution. And then Don Knotts prays. Well, he wishes. I wish I were a fish. And whatever deity is out there hears him, because everything gets dark, and the light comes down on Don. And he gets his wish. He gets his answered prayer. He falls into the ocean and watch as he goes through the theory of reverse evolution. Now, it's very funny to me that during this whole movie, they're mocking him. They're making fun of him. He's this nut. He believes in evolution. Watch the book falling down behind him. But who had the truth? Don did. The people that were the good people, they didn't know. They were so wrong. Don was the one that had the truth.
Sal, where's Eddie?
He said something about being on the verge of an evolutionary breakthrough.
Really?
I'm flying!
Some breakthrough.
Now, isn't that great, though? Can't you use that clip to say, guys, we really need to talk about this. How could a theropod dinosaur evolve into a bird? Look at the legs of a theropod. They're really big. We call people bird leg. Because they got little tiny skinny legs, and that's not a nice thing. Look at the legs, they're totally different. Look at the lungs, look at the bones, look at the heart, look at the arms. A scale over millions of years got roughed up and turned into a feather? And we got problems? What was that verse talking about? Imagination? We need to tear down imagination? Guys, that's about as imaginative as you can get. That a scale can get roughed up, which is a fold in the skin, and turn into a feather, which is a complex structure that grows out of the body? Oh, this is a wonderful one to talk with young people about evolution. How bankrupt it is. But here's this one. Now, let me ask you a question. Think critically. Do you think they're trying to teach evolution here? What do you think? Talk to me, please. You think they are? Were they effective in teaching evolution? Think critically. Yes? You think so? Let me challenge you. I don't think they are. Why? Because if evolution is true, should you find them all living at the exact same time in the same lair? No. If it were true, you should find the simpler one on the bottom, then the next one more complex further up, next one further up. Do you see what I'm saying? So I don't know if they were trying to teach it, but if they were, they didn't achieve it. Think critically. This is one of the reasons that the horse series in the museum has been really pretty much discredited, because they find all of those things living contemporaneously at the same time, and that doesn't support evolution. It actually undermines it. But then they go into the next room, and what do they find there? They find the T-Rex, then they find the UFO. Now, what's that all about? Hey, think about it. Intelligent design in our world today is very popular. And you listen to the leading proponents of intelligent design, and they will tell you, I've got it on tape, where, oh, yeah, we think, you know, God is a good candidate to be the designer, but if it's not God, who is it? Well, it could be something exotic like space aliens. So the aliens were here before bringing life. Be careful with the intelligent design stuff, friends, because unless you name the name, a designer is not going to get you into heaven. Jesus Christ. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and tongue confess. So be careful with that. There's some other things in there, but how about this one? Lilo and Stitch. How many of y'all saw this? Now, come on. I know, yeah, a lot of you. Watch this. This is blatant. This is blatant.
Can we not simply destroy the island?
No! Crazy head! The mosquito's food of choice. Primitive humanoid life forms have colonies all over that planet.
Are they intelligent?
No, but they're very delicate. In fact, every time an asteroid strikes their planet, they have to begin life all over.
Ooh. Now, how many hands saw it? How many caught it? See, here's the point. What I'm trying to submit to you is this, is that we as Christians, we get so used to hearing this message that it's just the way that it is. Everybody knows it's true. It's a fact. And we get used to it, just like we get moved from the plane into the city walls. Slowly, gradually, we start reflecting the world's wisdom instead of the word's wisdom. Because we see this stuff and we don't catch it. I was the same way. Now, this is the one that gets me in trouble with the young ladies here tonight. I'm sorry. But number one, you need to understand something right up from the very beginning of this. This is a cartoon. Don't take it serious. Do you realize that they've already made a sequel of this movie? It's called Nemo Found. It's playing at your local sushi station. You gotta lighten up. It's a cartoon. Now, it's a very good cartoon, and there's some interesting things in there. A father that loves that child. Disobedient son going out to find them. It has got some good points to it, but you know what? There's some big problems, too. Matter of fact, how about syncretism? What's syncretism? Oh, Bill Jack's going to cover that. I can't wait. You guys are going to love Bill. It's going to do some great stuff. But syncretism, oh, it doesn't matter what you believe. You just got to believe in something. You see, it's like a mountaintop. There's all kind of different paths to get to the top of the mountain. So it doesn't matter what you believe. You just got to believe something. Well, do they teach that in here? I don't know. But do you remember this scene? They used this phrase twice in the movie that I found.
He did it!
I'm so happy. Is he going to be okay, Gil?
Don't worry. All drains lead to the ocean.
All drains lead to the ocean. Are they trying to teach syncretism there? I don't know. But does it allow me an opportunity to talk about what it is and the problems with it? That it's not right? That there is only one way? And that's at the name of Jesus Christ? Yeah, sure it does. Well, where's the evolution? It's in the jellyfish scene. Remember this?
Give it up, old man. You can't fight evolution. I was built to speed.
Very quick. You see, what I do now, my son is graduating... in about a month now from college. And it's now a game. When we go to the movies together, it's who can catch the evolution first. It's a game because that's the way it's just turned into. It's fun. Oh, yeah. We went to The Incredibles. How many saw it? All right. Who caught the evolution? And it's not just the fact that they have all the mutations. Okay, yeah, that's part of it. This one's so subtle. Huh. Let me show it to you. Catch it? It's kind of hard. Guys in the backseat, I'm being a little unfair. You got to read the headlines. The headlines say this: scientists find the missing link. My son and I caught it at exactly the same time. It's now this game. It's like, oh, we both got it at the same time. Those messages are in there, friends. Subtle. Very subtle. Watch this one here.
If there's a God, he hates me.
She.
is not so into hate.
Oh, what's being taught there? She is not so into hate. You know what they're going along with, or at least consistent with, is the Wiccan religion. You don't think Wiccan religion is embedded in some of these movies? Go to the Pagan and Wiccan Parenting page. Yes, there is such a site. And when you go there, they tell you, here's some activities and things you should do to help raise your children. Look in the very center there. Watch Disney's Sword in the Stone. The whole philosophy behind Disney's Sword in the Stone is paganism. You don't think those things are in there? Friends, you better be aware those messages are there. All right, Spider-Man was my all-time favorite as a young man. Where's the evolution in Spider-Man? Right here.
40,000 years of evolution and we barely even tapped the vastness of human potential.
You see, as a young man, one thing that I really would have liked to have had was spider sense. I mean, spider sense was like the best thing going. You knew when something was coming. I wish I had had spider sense. As I've grown older, I've grown up and I realized that I'll never get spider sense. But you know, there's something that's even better than spider sense. It's called Bible sense. You see, God has given us a record. He's the only one who's always been there. He's given us a true history book to be able to deal with the world that we're living in. And you can have Bible sense when you start from the Word of God to understand the world that we live in, to have answers to real issues. Why don't we do it? We've been trained to put on those glasses to think like the world. Think about it. Average time a child in America spends in school is 900 hours. The average time a child in America spends in front of the television set is 1,023. Christian, how many hours do we spend in school versus how many hours do we spend in church? Oh, we go to church every week. Oh, and we're still real good. We still have Sunday evening services. Wow, 2 hours a week? Oh, we're real fundamentalists. We still have a Wednesday evening service. 3 hours a week, you think in 3 hours a week you're going to overcome over 1,900 hours of very focused indoctrination, and then you go to the church and you get this schizophrenic message. Can't trust the Bible. Jesus loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. That's what you need. Don't care about all that side issue stuff. Who cares about the days? Who cares about death and suffering? Who cares about millions of years? Why should you come to a thing like this on a weekend? This is a waste of time. Jesus loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. Friends, that's true. And please don't think I'm trying to mock that. It is absolutely true, but there's more to it than that. You see, the world's been smart. They come after us, Finding Nemo, Lilo and Stitch, and The Incredibles. And the quality's great. The church's response for too long has been flannel graph. You are the next generation. You are the ones that can produce materials and get excited about your faith to reach out to a culture that needs to hear the truth. How do we do it? Well, I can tell you this. You don't do it by doubting the Word of God. You have to be able to trust the Word of God completely from the first verse. You need to be able to use it as a real solid foundation. You see, when we get out, you want to demolish strongholds? You've got to understand how the world sees us. What do they see in Christians? Their only picture of Christians, for the most part, is what they see on Desperate Housewives, Family Guy, and The Simpsons. And if that's your pictures of Christians and Christianity, we are a sad bunch. And then how many of us are out there conversing, sharing our faith, the reason for the hope that lies within us, to overcome those stereotypes? There's over 300,000 churches in America. There's over 6,000 first-run theaters in America. Which one impacts the culture more? Huh? Christian. Where are we? You want to go share your faith? You want to demolish a stronghold? You got to know the way that they see you. You've got to understand that their radar goes off when a Christian comes up to them. Uh-oh! How do they see us? It's like Terminator. You know how Terminator, when he had that special vision, you know what I mean by that? When he was looking, he could do, he sees all that stuff. We need to understand that the world sees us like that. They look at us, and they have worldly vision going on. And they say, Christian, uh-oh, he believes in some religion based on fairy tales. He's got opinions. Because Christians will say, I think this, I think that. And then you ask him a real pointed question. Why would a loving God allow death, pain, and suffering? Oh, don't worry about that. Jesus loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. What about life on the further star? What about continental drift? What about carbon dating? Oh, don't worry about that. Jesus loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. So they got this little pea brain. That's the way the world sees us. They got that worldly vision. Bible? Oh, that's just that old, outdated book. You can't trust that thing. It's filled with all kind of fairy tales. It's not real. How do they see us? When we stand and our only tool is Jesus loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, I guarantee you, you're going to have a real rough time in the world today. Because the world has got question after question after question. Why do you believe what you believe? You tell me you're a Christian, and then when I ask you a question about dinosaurs or death, don't worry about that. Or we give a Jurassic Park answer instead of a biblical answer. Friends, understand what they hear you saying when you say this. Jesus, who's that? That's just some guy that lived a long time ago. Can't trust him. Loves you? What's love? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? A wonderful plan. Yeah, tell me about this God that has a wonderful plan. Look at the world that we live in. Look at all the ugliness. Look at all the death and suffering. What kind of a loving God would allow that when you don't have answers to those questions? How are you going to reach him? You're right about one thing, though, Christian. It's my life. I can do as I want. Who do you think you are to impose your values on me? Christian, we have got to be prepared. You have got to be prepared. You have got to have answers why you believe what you believe. That's what this weekend's all about. You see, we need to have Christian vision. And all those questions that the world likes to throw at us, God has commanded. Do you realize this? God has commanded you and I to be prepared to give an answer for the reason for the hope that lies within us. Has he not? Talk to me. Has he not? He has. And that means that you need to have a reasonable, rational explanation of why you believe what you believe. That's what you're required to do as a Christian. You need to have answers. Those questions are nothing more than a stumbling block from getting us to where the meat is. You know where the meat is? What it's really all about? We need to have answers to those things, those issues, because when we don't have answers to those issues, we miss the heart. And that's what it is about. If they're stumbling with this up here mentally and you don't overcome those things, they won't listen to a gospel of Jesus Christ that loved them and died on a cross for them. You need to have answers. I like what Dr. MacArthur said. Scripture, not science, is the ultimate test of all truth. And the further evangelicalism gets from that conviction, the less evangelical and more humanistic it becomes. You see, you need to have answers, but you need to have biblical answers. Christian, are you ready, willing, and able to answer the questions that the world has? Because if you want to truly evangelize, you've got to start conversing. You will only start conversing when you really, truly believe and have studied to show yourself approved. You have got to be able to trust this book from the beginning, from the first verse. You can't pick and choose. God's word is true from the beginning. Thank you for coming this weekend. You need to get equipped. We need to get equipped. And I pray that what this ministry is going to do for you is to encourage you to start your thinking from the Word of God. No apologies. No apologies. Starting to have answers from the Word of God. Using the culture, not being abused by the culture.